Hello, folks, and welcome to our weekly Behind Enemy Lines opponent preview here at On Texas Football. My name is Tommy Yarsh, and I'm excited to be joined by Garrett Ross from our friends over at Sikkim 365. Garrett, thanks for coming on, man. How's it going?
Good, man. Appreciate you having me.
No problem. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's get right into this. I want to start by taking a look at last week's really a gut-wrenching loss for the Bears against TCU. Sonny Dykes and the number four team of the nation hit a walk-off field goal, sort of like a fire drill type field goal, as time expired to pull out a win in Waco. From your perspective, what were really the positive takeaways and negative takeaways from this game that was really neck and neck the entire way?
Man, I think really you got to look at how they responded in this game. Because if you go back the week before, K-State come into Waco and really just kind of – they punked you. I mean, they took everything you had. And for Baylor to come out and kind of show some resiliency, show some that they actually had some fight, because they showed absolutely none of that against K-State. So that was kind of a positive. There were some issues really with decision makings regarding some of the things Blake Shapen were doing that kind of make you scratch your head a little bit, but we've kind of been dealing with that all year long. But I think the way that they come out and just showed that they weren't going to let it happen again, you know, and I think if you look at the betting lines coming in, 2-point game, they kind of, they stuck with it. They did everything they could to win the game. It just, man, it wasn't their day. TCU's on a mission. What can you say?
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you mentioned Blake Shapen. I want to talk about him next. A roller coaster of a year, sort of like you touched on, 14 touchdowns, but 9 interceptions as well on the flip side. He's going up against a Texas defense this week that's been having the best stretch of their season so far. They held TCU to just 17 and Kansas to 14 a week ago. What are some facets of Shapen's game that you could see finding success maybe against the Longhorns, and where do you see some things potentially going wrong?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, I think Blake Shapen's good. I mean, he's a serviceable quarterback. I think what gets skewed with him is this is his first year to really start. And I think you kind of see a similar situation like in Austin with Quinn. You know, the high expectations coming in, but these are freshmen, right? Like there's elements to their game, no matter how talented you are, that you struggle with. And I think we're seeing that unfold with Blake. Some of the things that are concerning for me are situations where he's running the ball and the sliding. Like I know, and granted, you want your quarterback to stay healthy, and Baylor dealt with the issues in the past with Brewer and even last year with Bohannon. But Blake is, he's deciding to slide a little too early, and he's coming up like 3 yards short in some key situations, in particular on third downs. So he's got to get that tightened up a little bit. In the throws, like the throwing off the back foot, the arm, and look, arm angle, we could take it for what it is. There's so many guys, Patrick Mahomes, and then they make it look so easy with their arm angles. And Shapen's a baseball guy, but I think he kind of relies in situations on bad technique at times. And that's what's resulted into a lot of these interceptions and errant plays that we're seeing. But if he can tighten that up, and people can stay patient, you know, we're in an era now where people don't really want to stay patient. You got people, Baylor fan base, well, why isn't Kyron Drones getting out there? Like you just got to pump the brakes on that, let it play out. But man, he's got to tighten up his mechanics, and we're going to see that this week.
Yeah, you answered my follow-up question on Kyron Drones there, so thank you for that. So talking about the running game now, we mentioned with my buddy Ian Boyd in our game preview this week that the running game was really the strength of this Baylor offense. I think they have double the amount of touchdowns on the ground than they do through the air. And freshman running back, Richard Reese. Okay. He's really been a welcome addition to the Baylor offense. 908 yards and 14 touchdowns for him this year. Craig Williams was over 100 yards last week to boost that ground game as well. So it seems like a running back by committee crew over there for the Bears. Against a Texas team that's been excellent against the run this year, how do they get those guys going?
I think that your key is going to be making the defensive linemen for Texas go side to side. I mean, you can't let guys like Sweat and Cockrum just sit there and clog up the hole. So I think you're going to see Baylor try to open things up with some jet sweep, really utilize that wide zone. And, you know, there were some plays last week against TCU where they did like some counters where the offensive linemen were doing these pirouettes and going, I think you're going to have to use the advantage of your offensive line's athleticism to really make the big guys from Texas not just sit there and come downhill at you all day. If they do that, man, Bears going to be in for a long day, but you've got to get things in space, whether it's Monterey Baldwin, somebody coming in motion on those jet sweeps, but you're going to have to spread Texas out because you can't just pound the rock at them. I mean, we've seen that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Monterey Baldwin, and when the Bears decide to throw the ball, he's their leading receiver and certainly helps them out through the air. When it comes to that receiving core, who else in that group is worth noting, and who are some names that could maybe step up this week?
This is a position group that's really kind of had everybody cover Baylor scratching your heads all year, right? Like we've had so many talent. You had so many talented players coming in, whether it was Jordan Neighbors or Monty Winfield. And I really was expecting those guys to kind of make a jump, have an impact in a similar way to what Evan Stewart has been able to do at A&M, but that hasn't been the case. And I think that kind of reverts back to what I was talking about a while ago. These are young guys, you know, and it's going to take time to develop. And I think that you're going to have to look at a guy like Josh Cameron, who's had a big year so far. Early on, he's going to make some plays. Hal Presley's definitely going to have to step up. He had a big game against Tech, but he's been very inconsistent all year long. But, man, other than that, Kelsey Johnson, like get him more involved from the tight end position and Ben Sims. But the receiving core right now has been hit or miss, and they definitely need some people to step up and help Monterey in them because, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big issue, man.
Yeah, Armani Winfield, the former Texas commit who had a slow start at Baylor this year. I too was expecting more from him and Jordan Neighbors, the freshman over from Rockwall Heath High School. Talking about now the Texas offense, I think Dave Aranda had a really interesting quote earlier this week, and it made its rounds on social media when he said that when defenses make it difficult or gray or they mess up the picture for Quinn Ewers, they tend to have more success. And I think that the past couple of games with him and just really the course of the season for Quinn shows that that is nothing but the truth. What are you expecting from Aranda's defensive unit to sort of give Ewers confusing looks and try to throw him off?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, I think it really starts with the defensive line. They've got to create some pressure. I mean, all season long coming in, there was all the talk about returning guys like Siaka Ika and having Cole Maxwell up there, Gabe Hall. But you've got to get those guys involved and get more pressure initially. And then let your guys like Devin Lemire, Martin Milton, and them on the back end wreak havoc. But I think you've really seen with Baylor's defense this year, they've struggled with not having the key guys there, like your Jalen Petries and stuff. So I think you've really got to – maybe it's Jackie Marshall getting him involved in a blitz scheme or something, Matt Jones. But they got to create some pressure because that's the only way. I mean, you're going to have to rattle Quinn Ewers or else he's going to pick them apart.
Yeah, and you mentioned really missing Jalen Petrie. He was so good against the run last year and stopping Bijan Robinson. Held him to 43 yards, his lowest outing on the season. Talking about more of this Baylor secondary, certainly not at the level they were a year ago, but nonetheless, they've still forced 13 interceptions on the season. That's good for second in the Big 12. If Ewers is flustered and makes those questionable decisions, this seems like a crew who could capitalize on that and really try to gain an advantage in the turnover game. Who stands out to you in that secondary crew to sort of fill in the shoes, if you will, for Jalen Petrie and maybe make those big plays in the passing game and in the run game?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's hard for anybody to step up and replace somebody like Jalen Petrie, you know, but I think that Al Walcott has done a serviceable job all year. You know, especially early on when he came out and he had the cast on, there was like three interceptions that he dropped that if he wouldn't have had that club on his hand, you know, he was taking those to the house. But you got to find ways to get him more involved. I think guys like Devin Dill and Lemire, I mean, they've really kind of taken advantage when there has been pressure created. But it kind of goes back to what I was saying a while ago. If you have the guys on the back end, like your Lemire's and Milton, they can make plays. They've proven they can make plays. But if you can't pressure, man, then there's nothing they can do.
Yeah, pressure is the name of the game. The Texas offensive line has been pretty good with pressure all season. They've second in the Big 12 in sacks allowed. Bijan Robinson is coming off a career day, 200 yards, that would be a record day nationally, 200 yards against Kansas last week, four touchdowns is what I meant. The Texas running back room also showed their depth. Keelan Robinson had a nice outing. Jonathan Brooks over 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns. How does Dave Aranda try to emulate what TCU did earlier this year and what he did last year against this Texas team to make the ground game a non-factor for the Texas offense?
I mean, it's going to be difficult. I think you've got to kind of, in a sense, use your offense to keep them off the field because you really can't slow them down. I think, you know, going back, you really need a big somebody like Siaki Ika to step up and plug that middle. But I feel like it's in a situation where you know you're not necessarily going to stop the ground game. You just got to limit it. And if your defensive line can create the pressure, and then you can kind of counter that with your attack, there's no way you can stop Bijan. I don't see it. But, I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at with that, man.
And, you know, just really quickly here before our next question, Bijan obviously going to be the focus, the running game going to be the focus. That being said, you'd think that what Texas likes to do when that is the focus is they like to get the screen game involved, getting Jordan Whittington out there real quick for a quick pass, letting him work, maybe a little bit of Jatavion Sanders over the middle. How has Baylor been against the screen game this year and maybe over the middle against tight ends who can be receiving threats? And do you see that potentially being a weakness for this Baylor defense?
I mean, I think it is. You really haven't had anybody be able to kind of contain the middle the way you saw last year. And I feel like when you look at a guy like Dylan Doyle, he's more of a run stop downhill side to side, but he's not going to be out there making those plays to – he's not quick enough to get out in the flat and slow those guys down. But, I mean, that's where you really need – you would need a guy like a Josh White who hasn't seen much time this year. But you're really going to have to revert to, you know, maybe TJ Franklin still on the edge and getting out. But you're just going to have to find a way. That's one of their key weaknesses, man. And it's been like that all year long. And you just got to limit it. I don't know. It's going to be a difficult task for them all day long, man. Texas is just talented.
Super talented as well. Really quickly here before we get to our last question, are there any injuries to players that could have a major impact on this game on the Baylor side of things?
A major impact, I would say right now, Gavin Holmes is going to miss the game. He had a leg injury last week against TCU, which kind of goes back to limiting the receiving core. But he's really the only main injury Baylor's dealing with right now. Obviously, they're without Drake Dabney, who got injured out for the season against Tech, which, you know, opened things up for Kelsey Johnson. But right now, the main injury that Baylor's dealing with is Gavin Holmes heading into this matchup.
Okay, so only two, really, which is good to hear at this point in the season. Last question here for you, Garrett. Although Baylor is out of the Big 12 title hunt, they have a chance to ruin Texas's odds at making the Big 12 championship. The Bears came back to beat the Longhorns last season in Waco after trailing by 11 in the third quarter. What'll have to happen for Dave Aranda's crew to make it back-to-back wins over Texas this time in Austin?
Slow the run game down. I really think that's the key. I mean, you got to win the turnover battle and you got to figure out a way to slow down all of Texas's rushing attack. Because I don't think Baylor looks at this Texas offense and is scared about Quinn Ewers picking them apart. That's no slight against Quinn. I just feel like when you look at the past, you just faced Max Duggan and you just faced Will Howard from K-State. Okay. I feel like right now in this point in the season, they're both playing better than what Quinn is playing. And like I said, I'm not slighting Quinn, but I think that Baylor's defense will be ready and can handle that. But it's really going to come down to, can you muddy up the trenches and slow down the run and find a way to generate turnovers and win the turnover battle? Because last year, a lot of keys to Baylor's success was coming out of those one possession games, getting, you know, the turnovers. And this year, that hasn't been the case. They're falling behind. They're, I believe, 2-4 in one possession ball games this season. So that's going to be the key. You got to slow down that running game and generate the turnovers. And Blake Shapen has to take care of the football.
Got to take care of the football, as always, and win the turnover battle. Such an undervalued aspect of the game. But really, I feel like this could be – it really is. I think this could be a really – you know, you might not want to hear it, but a high turnover game for both teams. So really, whoever comes out with the most is certainly going to win this one. And then you mentioned stopping the run. Anybody who does that against Texas typically has a better shot than most. Longhorns host the Bears in the final game of the regular season and senior day at DKR on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving at 11 a.m. Huge thanks again to Garrett Ross of Sikkim365 for joining us today. Be sure to give him a follow over on Twitter at @_GarrettRoss. Thanks so much again, Garrett, for joining us. And that's going to wrap things up for this episode of On Texas Football. Thanks so much for watching. And be sure to come back tomorrow. I'll be joined by Ian Boyd for a weekly game preview episode. And then after the game on Friday, I'll hop on the postgame show with Bobby Burton and Rod Babers from DKR to give you my quick thoughts after the game. Lastly, be sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel for more content throughout the week and beyond. For our producer, Matthew Hutchison, and all the great folks at Inside Texas, my name is Tommy Yarse, saying see you next time, happy Thanksgiving, and have a great rest of your day.